Joe presents Boys Don't Cry with Russell Kane, together with ASOS.
Hello and welcome to Boys Don't Cry with me, Russell Kane, the one that looks like Nick Grimshaw but isn't, because I'm slightly more camp. It's the show where I get two blokes together and force them to talk about the stuff men wouldn't normally talk about. If you're looking for, listen, there is a place for the woolly men's group and we need to talk about male mental health and we need to have a revolution in how men talk about those feelings. Listen, all those things are totally necessary. This is not that place. This is a spiky, awkward place where I have subjects thrust upon you. It might be funny. It might be awkward. It might be revelatory. It might be deep. We might go to places that are uncomfortable, but ultimately there's nowhere else quite like it. We've talked about things, I don't know, height, body hair, wanking, porn, suicide, depression, disability, you name it. I want to know what men really think. And what annoys me at the moment is there's become a thing, a persona men have to adopt. For example, not all men want to poo and just, go shagging when they're on holiday. There are some men like me that are more sensitive. That is now a script that men lyingly perform, even though every single one of them want to fuck everything that moves. So I'm interested in getting to the truth of what's really underneath. We've got some great guests today. It's actor, comedian and impressionist Luke Kempner.
Hello, mate.
Love your paintings.
Thanks.
We've got stand-up comedian Steve Bougeier. Bouge in the house.
Hey.
And we've got entrepreneur turned... I mean, it says media personality here, but you're sort of a presenter, a writer...
I'm a thing.
A thing, Louisa Zisman. And if you don't know her, you will in about an hour's time when you finish listening to this. So there's so many things having you here, Louise. What I love about you is the role of the lady auditor on this show.
Yeah.
It originally was just to jump in when the blokes start talking shit and making assumptions about what women think, but it's also just to give us the real honest opinion. So, for example, if we were talking about the classic one, dick length, and us guys have spent like 10 minutes going, most women
have measured them, boy.
Yeah, and then but Louise,
is that all not us?
And
really
digging the ruler in,
shaving cubes for the illusion of length.
There's loads of tricks.
We would then come to you and go, come on, put us out of misery. What do women really think? But we've done that one, so we won't be doing that.
No, but seriously, what do they think? It doesn't matter, does it?
It does.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want it too long.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't want it too short.
But is length really...
Like a 2-inch stubby one, it's still not going to do anything, OK?
What about if it was 6 inches wide and you were just, like, banging the entrance?
No, you wouldn't want that either.
I honestly think,
like, an average size and, like, a good width is
average
perfect.
Is 6.7 inches in the United Kingdom.
Get in there.
6.7. Well, it's about 6.5 is the average in the UK.
Okay.
Which means a lot of men...
Don't worry, mate.
Hang on a second.
That seems a lot.
You just said average length and now you said it's not that big.
Well, I thought average was a bit bigger than that.
Your average is bigger than average.
What's your average? I know it might take you a while to compile the survey based on data.
I don't know. I don't really, like, measure. Well, I've been married now for, like, ever.
Right.
For a few years.
Yeah, so you don't need to have sex unless it's for pregnancy now.
Yeah, and I've done with babies. I just don't need to have sex anymore.
Is it not noise-based? Should it make this noise? when it flops on a table.
No, I think you don't want one that's too big. That is not good.
Don't want to be saying...
It's just not comfortable.
Is that worse than too small?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Well, it depends how small.
Too big is definitely worse than too small,
Getting offended, apologies, because I know there are obviously some guys out there...
Just don't listen if you're offended.
There is a thing called micro-penis, which is a genuine ailment.
It looks like a baby on a...
It stays like a baby's dick. But the one thing I will not tolerate...
I hate little boys.
And I'm supposed to be backing up male body confidence. The one thing I will not tolerate is massive bollocks, tiny cock. I'm not going to... If you've got small balls and a small willy...
Doesn't that mean you've got
chlamydia? No, if you've got massive balls and a tiny cock, you're either unlucky or you're a gorilla. Gorillas have quite big scrotums and small penises.
Really?
Yeah.
But what if you fell for someone... And, like, you sort of have that real, like, connection, and then you find out they've got a penis that is smaller than what you wanted.
And this is why you should have sex on the first date.
This is what I love
don't
about
don't take the risk of actually falling for
them. Don't take the risk.
So, girls, if you're listening, that's the message.
Well, why have you ever had a guy
you've really fancied and things have started to happen? You're like, oh, my God, he's underhung. And it's just...
I left one day. with actually quite a famous radio presenter.
So don't, without...
Walked out.
Without even giving any biographical details, tell us what happened.
Wogan? Was it Wogan?
What's so you?
is he dead now?
Oh, my God. You were in the throes, you were in the throes of passion, you yanked the boxes down and it was too small.
Well, no, like, you know, fooling around, and I was like, I just can't be bothered with this.
Well, because it was because his dick was too small.
Not just too small, but a bit of that and a bit of just, you know, I didn't really like him that much. He was annoying. Mm. And then he had a small one, and I was like, oh, fuck this, I'm going home. Oh, we're allowed to swear on here.
Yeah, you can, yeah.
But that's a big one. You're like, it's annoying and big one, that's fine.
So you could be boring and a big dick would sort of balance that out.
Yeah.
Well, no, because what if you're, like, boring in bed?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you can get bored.
That's not good.
That.
You could be a boring person, but then you could be boring person but good in
just
bed.
Boring in bed, you mean just like missionary sleep? Just
a freak in the sheets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose it doesn't matter if you've got a small penis as long as you eat it like a pig going at truffles.
I love truffles. Oh,
my agent did not fully explain what this podcast is about.
We tend to have the one silly warm-up topic, but this warm-up topic is... I mean, it's right to feel... It's the one thing you can't really change as a man. Height and dick length. You can go to the gym, you can inject steroids if you're desperate
enough.
You're
quite short, actually, aren't you?
Whoa. 5'10",
5'10".
5'11".
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, why'd you stoop your shoulders like that?
I've got myself steamed.
Straighten your back and put your shoulders back. You should wear your height with pride.
Is that better? Like that?
Yes, much better.
Steve, do you feel intimidated by a woman like Louisa?
Yes, terrified.
You're all stooped over.
Yes, because it's...
Talk us through it, Steve.
You know what it was, genuinely? I was a very small child at school. I was like the smallest in the year, and then I just went through puberty at like 16 and then suddenly shot up. But that, like, before 16, I developed my personality. So my personality suits a shorter person, and
so
now
you
I'm bigger.
So now
my shoulders go over to sort of compensate for that.
No, you shouldn't do that. It makes you look a bit weak and feeble as well.
Oh, thank you.
Steve, could you date
you're
someone?
Really
like
it makes you look like a weedy little feeble piece of shit.
But you've actually got a nice stature. Look at your chest. You've got a nice chest.
For listeners there, Steve has just touched. We're just going to take a pause while Steve cleans his shorts. Like he just went off like a party popper full of Elm Lee.
Thank you very much, Louisa.
So look, let's just stay on this topic for a bit. It really wasn't supposed to be the topic of today's show, but I get the impression a lot of men are interested. I know a lot of women are interested in what men think about what they think. When you were at school, was it a mix? Was your dressing room separate cubicles or open?
Oh yeah.
Because
really
I think this changes how men think about their dicks. If you had a dressing room, a school PE dressing room, where you couldn't get changed privately, you know where you are on the size chart quite early.
Why were you all getting naked?
You had to get showered after rugby.
Yeah. Oh really?
Yeah, you had to have a shower.
We didn't have to have showers at my school.
Really?
I mean, I don't think we did any kind of sport where we got that dirty.
Oh my God, I'm just a straw boner.
Say that again. I think, you know, like, you know, with the guys in the change room, you sort of, I just always thought, well, I'm a kid, so surely this isn't forever, you know, so I never worried, like, you know, it was.
Did you not have the kid in your year who, like, at 13,
it was
like wool and sausages were tumbling out of her bag?
We did with a guy called, I'm going to name him because he'll be proud of this, Nick Drake, and I've not seen him since.
Not Nick Drake.
Yeah, exactly. But no, a guy called Nick Drake, and everyone was like, the girls would be like, oh yeah, do you know Nick Drake's got a massive penis?
Really?
And you did feel a bit self-conscious about it, but again, you were like, well, there's nothing I can do about it.
No.
So I probably can't worry about it.
My first pube was on my chest. How cruel is that?
Oh, no.
If hair is going to come anywhere first, why the chest first?
Yeah.
That's quite unusual, actually.
Well, it's typical of my luck.
I went to an all-girls school, so we didn't discuss boys' dick size.
Oh, I went to an all-boys school, that's all we discussed.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Did you snog each other at all-boys school?
No, you can't. When you do it from behind, you can't kiss.
No, there's no kissing.
We didn't get an answer out of you, Louis. There's lots of boys listening to this going, what size? Give us a size range.
We don't. Like 7 inches is probably good.
We don't want it so big you've got to take an ibuprofen before sex.
Yeah,
do
you don't want to be bleeding.
No.
But doesn't it also depend on the female? Because not
well,
all
I've
female
had three
can...
kids, I've got no hope. Exactly. My pelvic floor is shot.
Both of us could go at it, Luke.
You can all get in there.
We'll take another break.
Anyway, we've got an answer, lads. Finally, the first woman to say it. 7 inches is the answer. As close as you can get to that. Stretch it out, attach weights. I know, I remember attaching a Bible to mine and swinging it with string.
Now
I've got a long.
Work?
No, I've got
all
a long.
Weights.
I've got a long, thin one. So really, it didn't really matter. It's like a straw. So let's move on to today's subject. What I wanted to talk about was this. Now, you have three unusual men here. We are unusual in that we're all quite verbal. Before we started recording this show today, we're already talking about, oh, this and that. Oh, I've got these insecurities. How's your shows going? How's your wife? I'm single. I'm this. I was crying. Very, very unusual. I would say 20% of men emotionally literate talk about their feelings, 80% strong and silent. Here's my problem.
Okay.
Women tend to be attracted to mysterious, silent, good-looking men in the corner, then moan after about a year because he hasn't told them how he felt. So how do you find that balance in your life, Steve Bougeier? Do you hold back when you're with a girl for the first time how weird and needy you are? I'm only saying that because I'm the same.
What my tactic is, because I'm not the best looking or, you know, the most charismatic.
Oh, you shouldn't beat yourself
down. Thank you. It's part of my charm. No, what I do is I just lay it all out on the table really early on. Like, I go really full on, slightly weird, and then either they're into it, and then that's that, or they're like, whoa, no, I want someone a bit more silent. And
what do you mean full on, slightly weird?
I'll just tell them that I cry about my dad and stuff on the first day, you know, just like, no, not first date, but no, I will bring it up quite early on,
What's wrong with your dad?
I just,
Do you mean complicated relationship, or your dad's deceased? Because obviously people aren't familiar with your story.
We just have a
emotional
relationship.
Right, so that's even more intense. It's not, if you had something traumatic happen with your dad, he died of cancer recently, you could understand it, but your dad's alive and you're just simply crying about that relationship with him.
Yeah.
And he was an absent dad, was he?
No, he was, they divorced, but like, it was more that we, neither of us are good at showing. I guess he's the stronger silent type.
Right.
But I'm strong and silent around him, I guess. Probably. Maybe.
But he wasn't there for you.
He was there for me, like, physically.
Oh.
Not in a...
No, you mean I put food on the table, I'm present in the house.
Yeah, like yesterday helped me move house, but we didn't talk about anything other than moving chairs.
And yet there's a cultural stereotype, people who don't know your background, your Maltese, your background.
Yeah.
There's a cultural stereotype that men from that background are slightly more emotional and display more.
People
from, like, Italian, Maltese and Spanish culture, but in your case...
Well, my granddad is like that, his dad, but I reckon my dad, like, rebelled against that and went the other way, like, really conservative and doesn't show his emotions.
See, my dad's dad was a real angry bastard, and then my dad thought, I'm going to be a really angry bastard.
And then
when I was going, Dad, stop being an angry bastard, he'd go, well, my dad was like this, you know, and it was like, well, for me, I'm always like, well, you've got to change that, that going forward.
Well, he has, he's needy.
I know, well, you've smashed it, well done.
Luke, not needy, but if you're doing the job you're doing, comedian, there is no way on earth you're the strong, silent type.
No.
So you've got to be like, let's talk about her feelings now, and I know some women find it really irritating. If you go on long enough to, like, you didn't say you loved me at dinner, they're just going to want Mr. Grey to shove an aubergine up them and they're going to leave you. It's getting that balance right, but yet all I've ever heard in my female friends complaining because men didn't say how they feel, but when they get one, they can't handle it.
See, I think I remember when I was younger, sort of like 18 and in a nightclub, that was never sort of my scene. I was never good at just pulling girls on a nightclub floor.
No.
So I would sort of go, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll chat to them. I'll win them over with my chat. And it never worked.
No, it doesn't work.
But I would get lots of friends, but I wouldn't get
a
kiss.
Don't you think that works?
Not as working. I think it might, I don't know if it's a class thing, I don't know what your background is, but in working class background, I was a weirdo because I could have a conversation.
Really?
And all my friends were like, as soon as I finish this speech, I'm going to go
be
finger
like,
Becky.
Talked into bed and laughed into bed.
Funny gets the
Funny gets the fact. It does, don't you?
Funny gets the
funny. That isn't
you're
true.
All
that. That isn't
it
true.
Is true.
Maybe
it's
you're
not
that funny then.
Well, shake the award cabinet, Louisa. I'm very funny. Funny does sometimes get people into bed, but like not a good hit rate if you're just good looking. But that is a better.
No, see, I don't go for good looking.
Well, you say that.
Let's go to the lady auditor. Help us unpick this. And I know you're not hardly a typical woman. You say provocative things about women that get women outraged.
Women hate me.
But
not the good lady.
Go across all of your female experience, being all the women you've known.
Okay.
What's going on here? Why is there this paradox of most women going, he doesn't tell me how he feels. Then when they're with one that does, it's not a turn on. What's happening?
When you're like a crier or you're needy. But I'm quite testosterone filled, I'd say. Like, I like things to be quite straightforward. So I suppose in that respect, I'm quite masculine. But I think that women just, they say that they want it because they want to know what you're thinking. And then when you tell them what you're thinking, it's like too much.
Right.
So you just need to give 5% of what you're thinking. And then I think it would be all right. But it's when, I mean, you lay it all out on the table. I wouldn't.
I cry today.
Why?
I watched a video about one of those. It was one of those videos where
a tax return.
It was when you know when someone from the army comes back and surprises their son, and he was all wrapped up in a Christmas box, and this little 8-year old was like unwrapping the box, and his dad came out, and I just like lost it.
That's
like
a different type of cry. So hang on a second, Louise. If we were watching a film together,
yeah,
Notebook, and I cried, that would be a turn off for you.
I've never seen the Notebook.
No, okay, a film, sad ending.
Marley and me.
If we were watching a sad film together, you
would... I would laugh at you, yeah.
Really? Do you not cry at sad films?
Sometimes. But I am quite... like, I like men to be men.
Yeah.
Well, emotionless. Like,
emotionless, but I don't want someone crying all the time.
Tell me more about, like, the birth of your child.
I didn't cry, my husband did.
And how did that make you feel?
A divorce now.
I don't really care.
Isn't that the cost of the private hospital?
Oh, Mary and Joel's have had...
staying in for an extra night.
I don't think it didn't make me feel anything. I was just like, oh, you cried. Like, I don't really look that much into things. I think the problem with today is that people look into things too much. Mm. Like, they care too much about stuff that doesn't need to be cared about that much.
But you see, the thing, like, now, I suffer with, like, anxiety.
Everyone bloody
does.
Yeah,
I know, but hang on. But,
for God's sake.
But the thing is that, and it really, like, you know, it sort of really impacts my life. And if I couldn't talk to my partner, my wife, about that, that would be a turn off for me. Because I need to be able to be really open and really, and have her understand. Because I've been with people who don't understand it and sort of go, do you know how your anxiety makes me feel? And I'm like, well, that's not really my problem right now. You know, and it's like, so for me, I need someone. And does that make me not a man? Does that make me not someone who can protect somebody? I don't know if that does make that.
No, I don't think it does. I think it's nice that you have that relationship. And it's not that I wouldn't listen to my husband if he had, like, we talk, but he's quite... he's Irish, so I think they're a bit stilted anyway. Like, emotionally, they're a bit...
Because he has to speak to you through, like, a little wall. Like a pull back the curtain, you go, it's time for your confession. I had a terrible day at work.
He'll talk to me about that, but he tends to, like, if he stresses out, he just, like, goes into OCD mode and I just ignore him.
Mm.
I do think there's
Lindsay
an element of getting on with it as well. I think sometimes you make yourself worse by talking about it more.
There's a balance. Mm. Well, I think what Louise is saying is sometimes, like, there is a balance between sharing
and
re-sharing it so that you relive the anxiety eventually.
That's
definitely true of me.
And you're driving yourself mad, right?
It's true of me. I can have something that's annoyed. So I say, just to come off of something so provocative, something that might have annoyed me. I can't believe that happened earlier. I'll be wound up and Lindsay will be like, you ruined the whole day just because we were in a traffic jam. I'm fucking obsessed about it. Then I'll retell the story of it later.
Yeah.
Instead of sharing, I'm like, fucking, actually, he was a total prick. And then I'm back in there over discussing it. I think that's what you mean.
Yeah,
it's
just
a possibility.
Unload.
I'm not saying you're doing it, but it's a possibility.
Do like a once unload and then think in your head, I've unloaded, let's draw a line and move on.
Yeah, but I think there's against that. It's like I probably do bottle up a lot of what I'm feeling a lot of the time. Not in a sort of like a boohoo for me, but like because I don't want to talk about it. And then I'll suddenly be, you know, have a sort of anxiety attack or something. And like my wife, well, have you not been feeling like this for ages?
Can I ask how it manifests itself? Is it physical? Is it hot, increased heart rate? Do you sweat?
Yeah, it's there's not many people that know about it, really, but it's like it's sort of... I find if I'm in a place where I won't be able to get to a toilet quickly, I get really stressed out.
What, just because you need a wee?
Need a wee or need a shit.
What, and that stresses you out?
Yeah.
It all came from...
Like I had an argument with my old man, like when my parents got divorced, and it's sort of since then, like... And it was at a restaurant, and then I couldn't eat in restaurants like 3 years.
I'm such a sociable,
and it's like the thing of like, and I'm not arguing about against what you're saying, but my thing is like, I think it's good for guys to be able to talk about this stuff and say, hey man, sometimes I struggle with this stuff, but it doesn't, like, you know, anyone who knows me would not go, like, you've met me a load of times, you wouldn't go, oh, Luke's a guy that suffers with anxiety and he goes really dark. Like, actually, like, I'm a really open, fun, happy, we never get in that problem, but actually, if I'm on a car journey for 40 minutes, like, even the fact that I'm coming to support you on tour, and it was like, if my brain goes.
Yes, that's russellcane.co.uk.
Yes, I will be on in Dorking and Swindon.
We're just doing a few gigs together. Anyway, it's no big deal. But I'd say tickets available, but there aren't many left. Anyway,
but it's that thing of like knowing as soon as you said, "Oh yeah, you're going to one," I was like, "Great," but my brain was like, "Oh, will there be a car journey? How will I explain to Russell Kane, who I look up to?"
No transport provided.
Will I be able to say to him, "Oh mate, I don't know. I'm not really good with car journeys. I might just take a train."
What
actually
happens on the car journey?
There's no toilet, so you get stressed about it.
Is that because at one point when you were younger, you wet yourself or something traumatic happened?
Yeah. And but so then it didn't come for ages.
What we do for a living, that's like the worst panic. We never have access to decent toilets.
So
we're in random places all the time, and all we're doing is long car journeys.
Yeah.
You pick the, what's the worst job I can do for my anxiety?
And that's the thing, it's like, you know, when you're at a festival, and you're literally, I'm like, oh, where's the nearest toilet? And oh, yeah, it's 30 minutes across that field. And
yeah,
you're
but
like,
you've got a willy, you can just whip it out.
Well, there is that.
No, he doesn't have the length.
The upper end,
he, doesn't
though,
he doesn't have the length he has to squat.
but you know, but it is that, and it is that, but then also, like, for me, it's that thing of, like, people go, "Do you get nervous?" I'm like, I actually don't get nervous, but I do get anxiety. But I don't get nervous about going on stage. I love it. But it's the bit before that I'm like, but you're going to be on stage for 20 minutes and you might need the toilet. And what are you going to do? Tell the audience you need to go for the toilet. You can't do that.
God,
and then going for
so
all that
strange.
Stuff. Yeah, have and it's
ever...
really, it's has a massive
do,
impact.
I think you should do stand-up about it. Personally, if it were me or Steve, I think we would have done a routine about it by now.
Yeah. And I chatted to Felicity Ward, another comedian, who does do stand-up about a similar thing. And it really sort of, she was saying the same thing. She was like, you should do stand-up about it. And I think I will, but it's taken me, I think, an amount of time. Like this year, I did a routine sort of about my own aftershave, would be called Anxiety by Luke Kempner.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the first time I've sort of really talked about it at all on stage.
That's fantastic. Thanks for sharing that. I just want to go back to something Louisa said about, I do like men to be men, because I, at the top, said, I suspect there are a lot more men than let on that actually are just do want to go on lads' holidays and shag around, but we feel the need to put out this new beta male front with all this lustiness hidden underneath. So I wonder if the female equivalent is there's a lot of women hiding some more primal urges they might have about wanting men to be dominant, even in an ironic way. Is it help us to understand how many women are like, I want to be equal to you, but are secretly thinking...
I want to be equal to men in some ways, but in other ways I don't. I don't think that women and men are meant to be equal with regards to, like, strength. Like, we're so different, and biologically we're so different, and I don't think we should keep trying to compete with men as women, and men should stop trying to compete with women, because we bring our own qualities to the table. And I hate that you almost can't recognise that women have certain qualities and that men have certain qualities, and biologically you will always have those qualities, right? So I don't think that we need to, like, constantly try and be like, oh, women should be equal to men. Because you get all these women and they're like, I want to be equal to men. And then you go out for dinner and then they want you to pay the bill.
Mm.
And they want you to open the car door and they want you to pull out their chair for them when they sit down. And I find women quite hypocritical, and I think it's really confusing men in, like, today's day and age.
Mm.
Because I just feel like men are kind of like, oh, what the fuck do you want us to be then anymore? Like, we don't know. Mm. Like, are we meant to protect and provide? Are we meant to sit back and let you be the breadwinner and we'll stay at home? Do you want us to offer to pay half the bill? Are we meant to open that door for you? What are we doing anymore? Mm. And women are like, we don't know. and it's really bloody confusing.
Steve was like, what's the answer?
Tell us Oracle. For myself, but personally, when I say I like men to be men, I like elements of tradition.
Yeah.
I like chivalrous men. I like people opening the car door for me.
Yeah.
I really, if I'm out for dinner, if I stand up to go to the toilet, I expect the guy to stand up.
Whoa, Luke definitely would. He'd be like, where's the toilet?
I'd already be in the toilet.
Luke, I'm coming with you.
Wait, I've not heard that one before. If you go to the toilet...
So, say now, if I went like this to stand up, you should all stand up.
That is mad.
Really?
Have you never heard that
before? Yeah, it's like a Victorian...
I remember standing up when teachers came into the classroom. That's the only one...
Yeah.
But
we should mirror your body language.
I really like...
Do we stay standing until you've come back?
No, then you sit down. But I had a friend, she went on a date recently, and as she went to sit down, the guy pulled out the chair and she went to sit in the chair, and then he sat in the chair and she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, because she was expecting him to...
You know, when you put your hand on the chair and they sit on your hand, you're like, ooh.
So I think that...
I do that to Lindsay all the time. Yeah. See you out. Ooh, touch your badge. What do you want? Do you want pizza?
But do you know what's interesting about that, though, is because, like, you know, I've been sort of talking about, oh, I don't know, you know, maybe I'm not the typical man. But actually, I do enjoy being able to pay the bill, or I do enjoy being able to open the car door.
Isn't that
or,
a fucked up, confusing thing, though? How uncomfortable do you feel saying that?
But I like being able to...
But don't you feel uncomfortable owning that?
Yeah.
Because I do.
Like, because some women would be like, so why are you doing that?
Yeah.
I can pull out my own chair. You never know where you stand, right? Yeah. I think my wife probably
does sort of go, oh, all right, cheers for pulling the chair out. I could do that. But not like annoyed at me. She's sort of like, oh, thanks, but you didn't need to do that. But it's a thing that's in me to go, oh, I better do that, or I better open a door. Or...
But then Lindsay does the same to me, but doesn't a little tiny part of you inside suspect that she might think a little bit like Louise says, but doesn't want to say it because she doesn't want to appear old-fashioned? Because I think...
Yeah, I think that's going on
with Lindsay. Because sometimes Lindsay will... She'll open the door as we're walking in somewhere, but she's done it slightly too hard. It's like a temper display, like, I'll open the door and then shall I? And afterwards, I was like, oh, sorry, was I supposed to open that for you? No, it's fine. And she looks like it's fine.
Yeah.
Is she thinking maybe that Christian Grey would have probably ripped the door off and then new shards of grass...
Got an obsession.
I mean, yeah, there's a reason. Why was that book so popular? It's confusing that book was so popular.
Because sex is different. Sex is... Watching the bedroom, there's a whole different dynamic.
I think it taps in. I think it taps into a type of masculinity that's been suppressed. So, yeah, like, this is the fantasy film Disney, filthy Disney version. But there's something there that girls aren't getting for a book about being tied up and choked to be so popular. To me, is fucking weird.
But no. Oh, sorry.
No, I was going to say, like, there are, women can want certain things in the bedroom, like to be dominated or all that dirty stuff.
All that
but also...
The white stuff comes out my willy.
I'm ashamed of the whole act. But that doesn't mean they want that in their actual day-to-day life. The bedroom's a very sort of personal kind of central thing, isn't it? Like, yeah. Some women like all that sort of dominatrix stuff, but then we'll want just to split the bill, like, beforehand. That's also fine. Mm. I don't think sex should be used as a way to judge what women actually want.
I think you misunderstand me. I'm saying that book's popularity was surprising to me because although that book was about sex, it could have been about anything to do with male female relationships, but it surprised me that a book based on power imbalance between men and women, let me put it in that language, was so popular with women. There's a fantasy that they just enjoy looking at in a totally random way, or there's something that's changed in society where girls are getting a buzz out of reading that because... there's less of it in real life anymore. That's what I meant.
Maybe.
But maybe there's less of it because media is to blame for pushing this whole feminist thing so forward. And actually, that every day you're rolling your eyes at me because I said feminist. I really fucking hate feminists. I will not identify as one. Because I feel like it's gone too far down the road. And I feel like now you can't say, I believe in X, Y, and Z. Like, I believe in page three. I believe that girls should be able to be porn stars. I believe that girls should be able to be page three stars. And you've got feminists, women, telling other women that they shouldn't have the choice to do that. And that's what I don't agree with. But I think they shout the loudest. So the media picks up on this. And actually, the everyday woman that's not like that, that it's just like, yeah, you know what, it's good to be able to do what you want, it's good to be able to have choice, it's good to be able to have a baby and go back to work, we don't want to stay at home in the kitchen, we want to work, we want independence, but at the same time, it's nice to have a man that is a bit chivalrous, that will open a car door for us, that offers to pay the bill. If we choose to take them up on that offer, then that's great. And if we don't, we don't, and that's great too. I think it's just gone too far down a road now of man-hating, really.
Boys Don't Cry is proud to be sponsored by ASOS Design. It's Russell's go-to brand for the white t-shirt, black jean look he likes to pull off. But ASOS Design has something for everyone. You too can express yourself however you want with clothing that's trend-led and will give you the confidence to push the boat out a little bit and try something new. You don't have to look like Russell if you don't want to. Created by ASOS and styled by you. Check out the latest neon get-up or quality everyday staple ASOS Design pieces on asos.com/men.
When I got married, the decision of whether who was going to take each other's name. We had a humanist ceremony, so it was like really, you know, basically I wrote the whole ceremony, so it was really equal.
Yeah, lots of different characters in it. Yeah, it was great. Just imagine if Jeremy Corbyn did this.
It was weird. David Attenborough turned up. What are you doing here? But the whole decision of taking the name thing, I was sort of like, it was Alana was sort of like, oh yeah, well, we'll double barrel our names. You'll be McFarlane Kempner. And I was sort of going, yeah, it's fine.
Take her name first.
Yeah, well, so my name is now Luke McFarlane Kempner.
Is it? You never mentioned that.
Yeah, not for work. but my brain, and I've told her this, was going, oh, I'd love it if you took my name. I'd love that. It means so much to me. What does that mean? Because I wanted to go, no, I think it's good. I think it's equal. Why should you take my name? It's ridiculous. It's an old sort of system. It's mad. But my brain was going, I'd really like it. And I've got mates whose wives have taken their name and I'm jealous of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Steve?
But it's meaningless, isn't it? I don't care.
If you marry a girl called Lisa Smith tomorrow, would you become Steve Smith?
I mean, I'd be...
Would you become Steve Bougier?
If she, was insistent that I take her name, then I'd think about it, but I'd be more inclined just to keep both our names and just have a relationship.
So you would say Bougier and she is Steve Smith?
Yeah.
What would your children be called? Could they be double-barrelled?
Maybe double-barrelled or just... Yeah, they could choose.
And if your daughter then marries another man, is it quadruple-barrelled?
Well, that's what it's going to be. For our kids,
it'll be like Spanish people. My name is Juan.
Yeah, but there'll be like Brazilians where you just have to give them one name.
No, you're right. There are some practical reasons why you need to decide.
Or if they turn into a footballer, very expensive on the back of the shirt.
I mean, you had a distinct name, but that wasn't your birth name. You're Zisman, but now your married name is Collins, right?
Yeah. So, but my Zisman is my ex-husband's name.
Right.
That I've kept.
Right.
So my maiden name's Kalazaris. My dad's Greek. And then when I got married first, I changed it to Zisman.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, really excited, actually, to change my name and to become, like, married in a family.
Yeah.
And I always actually really hated my maiden name, but then Zisman's not that much better. But anyway, so I did Zisman. And then when I got married again, I was already in the public eye, so I just kept it. Because
Yeah.
I was like, Cheryl can't change her name. I'm not going to be able to, am
right,
I?
Yeah.
So I just left it as Zisman.
But I think loses a bit of your identity by not keeping that name within your name. Even though I know you said you hated your maiden name, but like for my wife, she was like, "Well, I don't want to lose McFarlane in my name. That's my name."
There's a bit of Scottish. Oh yeah, she's like,
"You fucking did my name.
Can I be Muck Kempner?
I'll cut you.
Can I be fucking Muck Kempner?"
Oh mate, we had that conversation. Muck Kempner, Scottish Jewish family.
Kempenstein.
That just didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Like, but I grew up hating my maiden name, so I was quite happy to get rid of it.
Mm.
So Lindsay's mum and dad, Lindsay's dad took the mum's name.
Oh, really?
So Lindsay's mum was Cole, and her dad was called...
But that's traditional in Italy.
It's called... dad's name was Bruno Pasnichny. Spelt P-Z-Y-I-E, because his dad's Ukrainian and his mum's Italian, so Lindsay's got an Italian-Ukrainian. And so Yvonne and Bruno got married, but... It was, you know, you go to the doctors and things like, can Mr. Pistachio... She was like, this is ridiculous. So they both became Cole for pragmatic reasons.
Yeah. Well, maybe I need to that, because my surname's Bougier or something like that.
I love your surname.
No, I need to get a proper...
Sexy.
I need to... Well, thank you.
Steve, could you...
Russell,
I'm going to ask you this, because it's been put in my ear about five times. Could you have a relationship with a woman like
yes,
Louisa?
Anyone.
Like Louisa?
No, I think I'm attracted to confident women.
I just imagine, like, we'd go into the bedroom the next morning, there'd just be, like, a bone and a trainer and some rags. I'm sorry, I got hungry in the night.
I don't want to comment on what the sex would be like, but I...
Rampant?
I think one-sided is the main thing. Jane, I'm very attracted to confident women. Like, I think it's amazing. And, like, I want to be the weaker partner, I think. A bit more social environment.
I won't be offended.
Like, if I'm out with my friends or something, I love it if my partner is, like, dominating and, like, telling all the funny stories and I'm just sat there.
Yeah, definitely.
I love it. That's my favourite thing.
But now, the stereotype of a stand-up, particularly a male stand-up, I think a lot of people would be surprised to hear a statement like that come out of your mouth. I know Luke a bit, and Luke knows me, and we definitely are. Hey, who's listening to my funny story at the party? We're both like that. You're not like that.
No,
yourself.
I'm not like that at all. I can't.
How do you reconcile going on stage doing this? What to most people is the scariest job you can imagine. Going on stage with a microphone to 200 drunk people in December and January and telling them jokes.
I've spoken about this before, but I think it's because on stage I just feel like a different person. Like when I've got a microphone and I'm on stage, I feel like I can own the room and I can talk, you know, I can say whatever I want and people have to listen. Whereas when I'm in a group or on a table, I just go within myself. Like any more than three people around a table, I go quiet.
Oh, that's so
what
cute.
About if it's all your oldest friends and it's 10 of you?
Yeah, but I won't be. I'm not enjoying it. I just won't hold court. Yeah. You know, I'm just not holding court, telling anecdotes. Like and people find it very weird that I'm a comedian because they're, you know, people who know me from school. Yeah, they're like, really, you're a comedian? And then they see me on stage. And they're that's a different.
Normally,
person.
After you've got off stage, this.
Yeah.
But it's funny you say it because I was saying to Russell before that I'm very much like I have to be constantly sort of entertaining in that sort of situation. Yeah. And like, but my wife's family, like if I go silent for sort of 20 minutes, I get sort of, Luke, you're all right. What's going on? why are you not drinking? Like, it's such a weird, like, because I think people are so used to me being like, I'm like, and you've seen me in
you're absolutely annoying.
I think socially,
where's the toilet? Champagne spray in the toilet. Go. Everyone into the disabled.
Guys, can we carry on this conversation in the toilet, please?
Luke's my best friend with the no spray, no leg.
I
I go very quiet in groups, but I saw people expect that, so people don't ever question me for it.
Really? Yeah. And what is your stand-up like?
It's funny.
very self-deprecatory, very
big. Yeah, like, do you like put yourself down? And
all stand-ups
do that.
Yeah, I guess
that's
I do,
British,
yeah.
That's British humour more than anything.
Yeah.
We don't like people go, hey, everyone, I'm great, and here's my shtick.
Yeah.
Do you think
work.
You all suffer with, like, depression and shit as well? All stand-ups, comedians I've ever met, they're all a bit squiffy like
Steve's,
that.
Just sorry to cut you off, but Steve's Edinburgh show was about his girlfriend leaving him, pretending she'd left him, and that was a joke that at the end she hadn't, and then at the end she really did.
She actually did leave me, so in the process of writing the show. No, it was actually a nightmare. So I wrote the show in May, and it was just a stupid show about, oh, maybe she's going to dump me, and it just had loads of, you know, routines in it. Oh, and then the ending was, oh, she didn't, and then laugh. But then in August she did. So
during the main
during
run.
During the fringe. Oh. And then I've also taken it on tour as well. My management keep adding dates. And I have to keep doing it.
So how did you change the ending?
Well, the only way I could do it, because I was in such a mess in Edinburgh, I would just do the show as it was, and the crowd would go, oh, all right, he's fine. And then they'd applaud, and then I'd go, oh, by the way, just so you know, she has dumped me. And then there wasn't really any jokes. The crowd would just go, oh, God, that's so sad. And I go, anyway, see you next year.
Cheers. It's my pocket.
Yeah, it was pretty... Yeah, it was
but didn't you just, in the end, just keep it that... You just kept it that she hadn't left you?
No. Pretty much every night I said that she did.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because
I just felt like
a
reliving breakup, aren't you?
Saying it. Yeah, it was like every night
probably
I relived the breakup.
Probably like therapeutic that helped you get over it, maybe.
I don't think so, actually. No. I think it made it worse.
Can I ask you a question, Louisa?
Yeah.
So in a situation, do you know where the toilet is? In a situation where there's...
Do you know where it is?
Yes,
do
absolutely. You know where it is? Yes. There's one downstairs I saw on the way up. But if you were in a situation... And let's say there was six of us,
we're all wanking. I thought it was a completely different.
It's a different podcast.
Sorry.
But like, and there's one person that's been particularly dominant, chatting, been really funny. Was that the person that you'd be attracted to, or you'd be attracted to the person who's good looking in
him.
The corner? Would you?
Yeah.
Listeners, she's just pointed to Steve Bougeier, who is now having to think of his football team to suppress an erection.
I would. I'd go for like. Quiet but chatty, more one-on-one.
Yeah.
Like, you know my husband, Russell, he doesn't, like, I'm the dominating one, and he'd be a lot more quiet than me, but I wouldn't go for, like, if you were life and soul, because it's like, I'm the life and soul.
Yeah, clashes.
So you have to go for, like... Oh, and I'd be drawn to the person that's quiet, because I'd be like, why are you so quiet then?
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like, it's because my dad.
I'll fucking cry.
You just say, I'm so well hung, I can't concentrate. Yeah. 7.1 inches packing.
Those numbers are right, switch it.
While we're there, we're talking about this, like what draws you to a man in a room, there's a thing that I think men wrangle with a lot, and you hear some nasty stuff said by men about women. Is it an age thing? Is it you can't necessarily make a rule? It depends from woman to woman. And I know it's not, they don't always come separately, but let's pretend for an experiment they do. Looks and brawn versus wealth. What what is it about women that enable them to sort of go, do you know what? They get, is it an age thing where they get to a certain age and go, do you know what? It doesn't matter that he looks like the guy that holds the two tyres in the black and white poster. He owns HSBC. And yet, do you know what I mean?
This is unfair because my husband's wealthy and 17 years older than me.
This is perfectly fair.
And he knows that.
I'm 12 years older than Lindsay, and she's fair as fuck. So I'm not. Listen, this is not. We're not playing this game alone here, right? It's never spoken about, and it's very awkward and a horrible conversation. But let's speak about it now, gentlemen. The three gentlemen, if you're just listening, so you don't know what we look like. We're not ugly, but we're not models. We're just average-looking guys ranging between 5 centimetres.
Luke is furious with that.
Luke's like, I'm doing fucking
hard. Look, we're not on the ASOS homepage, are we?
No. B page.
We're not ugly. I'm just saying we've used personality to pull.
Right? You're like normal-looking guys.
Normal. We're boys next door.
I'm really learning something. I thought I was a good-looking guy.
But let's just say...
I don't think you're unattractive, but I don't go for a David Gandy. I've never, ever been out with a guy that's really good-looking, ever.
What's more of a turn-on to most of the women you know? Power or looks? Let's stop.
Power.
Let's stop
power.
Dancing around this subject.
Power.
But does power mean wealth?
What do you mean power?
And sometimes power does mean wealth, because I love it when I like see my husband in a suit and I hear him on the phone being like down the phone to people, because I'm like, oh, that's like powerful.
So is power good?
I am drawn to power over like no offense, like a little Essex boy that's had fake tans in his eyebrows threaded.
Yeah. Wow.
Like I'm not into that at all. But like, it's true though. I don't want some guy that like is just looking amazing. It's got no personality. That spends more time in the bathroom than me. I want like a real man that's like rugged and powerful, and that like doesn't thread his eyebrows, and that's like got like I don't know. I've never gone for skinny guys.
But there's a lot of women that do want that, isn't
there? Do you think?
Yeah, because if you look at like Love Island, like all those blokes are like that, aren't they?
Mm, yeah, but don't you think that's just so manufactured?
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's so manufactured.
Yeah, but those folks are getting loads of women outside of Love Island, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's not sustainable.
But there is power. But I think you'll find that there is a form of power there.
Because
celebrity
fame.
Is a form of power, and it's also wealth these days. If you're on Instagram,
but I mean, just blokes that look like that who are on Love Island.
You're like, I'm not drinking this glass of protein because I get 5 fucking care for it afterwards. Oh my god! Let me wank you off in an Uber.
Can I ask what do you mean by power? Like, is it just like a businessman
status,
sort of power, or is
status,
it like a
well, status?
Yeah.
Or wealth.
Okay.
Status or wealth.
Yeah, I'd say, like, and presence. So, like, I like, you know, like, someone that's got presence. That
so some of it is personality.
And I bet you spell presence two ways at Christmas. And, but is power always good in the sack? Couldn't a guy be really powerful, wealthy and interesting and then just be like a function pump? Or does that matter?
Function pump.
You know, like a cow attached to a milking clink. or does the powerful men tend to be good in the sack? Is there a link?
They tend to be good in the sack because they're confident. Yeah. Do you know what it's for me? It's not. It's confidence.
Yeah.
Like, and I think you don't have to be the loudest in the room for me to go, oh, you're confident. Right, but having, like, that's just being self-assured and confident and knowing yourself, I find that attractive. I find the confidence attractive. And so that's what would attract me as well. And I think if you've got that and if you're happy within yourself, it's ultimately happiness as well, right? Someone that's happy within themselves is more attractive because they seem just whole, like they're not broken.
Yeah. Confidence is sexy. And you know, you see any girl who is sort of confidently, sexually confident, is obviously more attractive because, and it's not just about aesthetics.
I think that's not just about aesthetics.
Let's turn it round on the lads a second, because what you said is admirable, and it's certainly the way I think. I find a sexually confident woman a turn on, I do. But most men have got a bizarre thing in their head, confident but not too confident. I don't want to give it away on the first day. Why, you bellend? And also, let's be honest, there's a lot of men who aren't attracted to power, who don't want a woman that's wealthy or powerful or got high status, a lot of men can't handle it.
Yeah.
Could you handle it, Luke?
I just couldn't.
Honestly? Be honest.
Yeah, no, because I couldn't, because my wife is Scottish and like...
No, she's never going to...
Strong.
Think, yeah. Right.
You know, and she's... I remember her saying to me, when she goes, you'd love to have a meek little girlfriend, wouldn't you? But I just wouldn't. I wouldn't because I couldn't...
You're like, take the hands off my neck.
but I can't. I need that sort of stimulating conversation. Like, yeah. like you were saying, you're attracted to, you know, confident, powerful women. Like, I've always gone out with Celtic women who have always got
that.
Celtic.
I know, mate. Like, I'm strong.
I'm from the Isle of Man. It counts. Yeah. Counts.
Yeah. But I do like that. I like confidence. I find that a term. Yeah, definitely, I find that.
But okay, then let's make it about something that in surveys. Maybe we're three unusual blokes. Men don't seem to like women that are wealthier than them. What the hell? What is going on there? Could you be attracted to a woman that was more powerful, more wealthy, higher status than you? And
yeah,
if your answer is yes, why do you feel so many men can't?
I think I could, purely because it wouldn't affect how I felt about, as long as it didn't affect how I felt about myself. Like, that's the main thing, isn't it? Like, I think that's the problem, though. Mm. So a lot of men are just insecure, basically. So a lot of men, like, if they're going out of a really powerful, maybe rich, successful woman, it just makes them feel bad about themselves. But I wouldn't feel bad about myself. So I'd be like, I'll be fine, I think.
I think if I wasn't earning anything,
yes,
and my partner was, I would not like that.
Right.
Do you think, well, I had a string of boyfriends before I got married, right? For some reason, I don't know what happened to me, but I went out with, so after my divorce, I went out with a guy that lived in East London in a hippie commune. He didn't have a job, he just smoked pot all day. And then I went out with another guy. He didn't have a job either. He used to literally have to go out and sign on, like, every Thursday.
Mm.
It was very limiting.
On,
and then another guy, he had a job and then he lost his job, so he had no job. Oh, and then I went out with another guy, the removal man, and basically he then, like, had no job either. Like, we went to Amsterdam and he was like, you get the flights and hotel and I'll pay for everything when we're there, so it's pretty even split. I was like, okay, cool. So I booked it. We got to Amsterdam, went to a customer, and he's like, oh, can't get any money out. So I went through, like, about four or five guys kind of dating flings that just had no money, and they didn't care that I had more money than them. And I was working, I've like had businesses, I was earning really good money. They just didn't care that I was just and I didn't really care either that I was paying for everything. And then I met my husband and I was like, actually, it's quite nice having someone to pay for something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that sounds like they're sponging off you, like, as long as it's like a balance, you know, like, I wouldn't mind.
I think
also,
if you're
sexual
self-sufficient.
Sexual confidence, I actually appreciate, because it's someone just, I haven't got any ideas. If they've got the ideas, that's great.
Well, that's what that bit was for. I kept looking at it. Absence versus solitude. Same similar area. There are certain people that we're all great at being in relationships, but are really good at being on their own as well. Like, doesn't struggle to, I'm going on away on business for 2 days. Part of me quite enjoys being away on business. There are other people that hate it. I like being with my partner. I'm not her when I'm not with them. Where are you on this type of thing?
I'm completely the opposite to my wife. My wife hates it. My wife's a twin, and, like, she cannot stand to be on her own ever. Where, like, I love it. Like, if Alana's like, oh, I'm going away for a couple of days, are you going to be all right? I'm like, absolutely. And that doesn't mean I hate my wife. It's just I like being able to do my own thing. I love
some people are offended by the notion of I just love my own company.
Yeah.
I bounce sometimes, not at first, it's different. It is a bit different when you've got kids, you do miss them a bit. But I'll bounce into a hotel and I'm like, I'm actually going to do nothing late. I'm not even going for a drink after the gig. I'm going to sit here in the fluffy dressing gown, watch Netflix on my own and speak to no one. I'm like, am I a psychopath? Is there something wrong with me? What about you, Steve?
Yeah,
you...
I definitely like my own space. And but in terms of when that extends to being single or in a relationship, so I just came out of a relationship and I thought in my head, I'd be like, I'm going to love being single. It's going to be great. I'm going to be shagging around. I'm going to be, do my own thing. I've got my own time and space. And now I'm like, no, I need someone again. I can't do it. I'm rubbish at being single. It's awful. So, I like my own space, but I don't want to have not the option to be with someone.
Yeah, I meant more when you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
So you're loved up. You're a few months in. Your honeymoon period's finished. Are you more a kind of can't wait to be back together, or I really enjoy those days when I'm on my own?
I definitely enjoy my own space, and that's why our job is so good, because we're regularly away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's forced time, and yeah, if they moan about it, you're like, oh no, I've got to do this gig in Hull.
Is this Ben stroke, Colin stroke, Pethavelikin? What? You've got a similar setup to me and Lindsay in that your fella's away all the time, so it's enforced. But if you could choose it, what would you choose?
I would choose him to be away.
Really?
Yeah, like, for a couple of nights a week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's nice because, I get to see my friends. I get to, like, miss him to some extent. Yeah. So when he comes home, I'm happy to see him. When we spend time together, we never argue because we're kind of got nothing to argue about, really, because we've not lived in each other's pockets.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think it's healthy to be able to, you know, be on your own, and it's healthy to have your own friendships independently of your other half, and it's good for them, and it's good to come together with friends
and,
as well.
And what about girls that do say, you know, I just couldn't go out with you, you're a stand-up comedian, we're spending nights apart, it's not right, we're in a relationship, we should be sleeping together
I just don't do needy. And, like, girls that are like that, or if they think that you're cheating when you, like, go away, it's just too much. If I was a guy and I had a girl like that, I couldn't be in that kind of relationship. But some men are like that, aren't they, with girls?
Mm.
But that's just insecurity. It all boils back down to insecurity.
Yeah.
It's become about confidence.
There's too many insecure people.
But I think as well, like, you know, like my, I don't know about you guys, but like my wife or someone goes, oh, come on, let's go out with, you were saying, like, bring friends together. She's like, oh, come on, we're going to go out with so-and-so. And I'm like, well, no, I just want to go out with you for dinner.
Yeah.
And she's like, but we're spending time together if we're with other people. And I'm like, no, we're not. Like, because I'm having
like a day in Stirling.
My wife is a little camp Scottish boy. but, you know, and it's sort of like, and I find that, you know, when I'm away, I then when I'm back, I do quite
want
to spend
her.
A quality time. Yeah.
But don't date, and this is awful, but don't you find, like, say it's date night and you put time aside for two of you and you're both tired, if there are other people there, you sort of socialise better with each other because you could be going to display
a show.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you're both knackered and you go out for dinner together and you're like, oh my God, I can't think of anything to talk to this
one.
Yeah,
no, yeah.
This is a disaster. I wish we'd gone to the cinema.
Yeah.
I love going out with other people with a partner because, you just put on a little show and, like, we're always trying to be the funniest in the, you know, get a good dynamic to
you sit there quietly waiting for
I sit there quietly but then say something funny, like
in your little unit with the girl you're out with.
Yeah, it's like you're a double act.
Yeah.
Because I think it's that putting on the show bit that I don't mind, but then sometimes I'm like, I really can't be asked with putting on the show
tonight. But maybe you feel like you have to be like that because you're a comedian.
Well, I also am an impressionist and I'm always being other people.
I know. Mm. I bet you use that in the bedroom, don't you?
Fuck me, Sean Connery.
Yeah, exactly.
Who reminds me, Jamie Carlton?
Well, Miss Money Pony. If I put my penis in.
I've run out of time. Thank you. What an awesome, awesome, awesome show. I think just hunt for Louisa, whatever complaints you've got, she'll happily receive them. No, seriously. Thanks for coming on. Louisa's this one awesome lady auditor, Steve Bougeier and Luke Kempner. This has been Boys Don't Cry. I'm Russell Kane. Do hit subscribe if you've caught this as a one-off. There are loads of episodes in the first series to catch up on. Leave a review. We love the positive reviews, particularly for this one and these two. Please, no negative reviews, otherwise Steve will be bringing it to me and beating me with it. Thanks very much, and we'll catch you again next time. Goodbye!
Bye, it's good toilet.
Thank you for listening to Boys Don't Cry with Russell Kane, brought to you by Joe, together with ASOS.